Did you process the non-ferrous metals? Or did you process it and then shipped it?
Right, we didn't melt it, smelt it, just processed it, got it ready for the mills.
Okay.
By then sorting into grades. Now, the next step in this procedure would be to melt it.
I see.
Which we didn't do.
Okay. Well, could you tell us something about how you met Charlotte and your courtship and marriage?
Sure. In 1941, before I went to service, long before, I was invited to take out Charlotte by a friend of ours, Reggie Stern. And she, that time, Reggie Brown. And she said, "You gotta go." And I says, "I have another date that night. I'm sorry, I can't go." She said, "Well, I have to break the other date." And I told her, "You're gonna take her." Which I did. And that was 53 years ago. And our courtship lasted about 6 months. I was in the service, went in April 1942, and decided at that time we were going to get married, and we were married in August of 1942.
You were married shortly after you went into the service?
I went in the service. Okay. Charlotte came and visited with my mother and father, and we made our decision. We were going to get married, and I came home. And we got married, and she went back with me. And we lived in New Orleans for over 2 years while I was in the service, almost 2.5 years. Then when they sent me overseas to Saipan, Charlotte came back to Pittsburgh. And I was wound up being a master sergeant in the Transportation Corps of the USA.
How old were you when you were married?
25.
In Charlotte? So,
Charlotte was 20. No, I was 24, I'm sorry. She was 20, I was 24.
Could you tell us something about her family?
Yes. Her family came from Washington, PA. Her father was a lawyer, practiced law until he passed on. He was almost 80 years old. Her mother was a housewife, originally lived in Chicago. And she has a sister and a brother. Her brother still practices law in Washington, PA. Her grandfather, her father's father, was the rabbi of Washington, PA for well over 50 years. Her grandmother, who I met, she was a grandmother and a typical housewife.
Could you tell us their names?
Charlotte's father's name was Meyer. Her mother's name was Dora. Her sister's name was Eleanor, and her brother's name was Howard. Now, her grandfather's name was Jacob Colfar, and I don't remember her grandmother's name. Sophie.
Was he what kind of rabbi for what kind of congregation was he?
It was an Orthodox congregation. It was the only congregation in Washington, PA, which he helped start. History on him is beautiful because he came over from Europe, was sent over here and had training over there, and he had to, in fact, we sent it to the Western Pennsylvania Star Gazette. When he was naturalized, he had a sign that he was giving up his rights to the Tsar, to the Tsar of Russia. It was on his naturalization paper that he had to give up all the rights to the Tsar of Russia in those days, which he did, of course.
Uh-huh.
I remember because we sent it to the Western Pennsylvania Star.
Was that an unusual commitment?
Yes, I've never seen it
had
before, yeah.
Why did they ask him? Nobody knows why. I see. I know he was a very well thought of and revered rabbi.
He was. Uh-huh. Married us. Oh, the last marriage that he performed was Charlotte and me.
Is that right?
That's what he said. That's what he did.
Okay. What was her background in education?
She went to high school in Washington, PA. Went to Northwestern University for, I think, 2 years. Then came back to Pitt, and that's when we met. And she never finished because of that. And decided to get married.
And did she ever hold a job?
Yes. She worked during the war, prior to the war. After, before we married, she worked at our company, Blue Stone Metal Company. And then after that, she worked for in New Orleans for one of the government agencies then.
What did she do?
She was writing checks for them. For,
oh. Is she still good at it?
Yeah, she's good at that.
How about for your company? What did she do?
She was a secretary.
Secretary.
She helped. She did secretarial work.
Uh-huh. Can you tell us about your early married life when you were just getting started as a married couple after the service?
After the service, sure. We lived on, came back, couldn't find a place to live. So we stayed with my mother and father at the Wendover Apartments for about 3 or 4 months. And we finally found a place on Hobart Street up on the third floor. Between Hobart, between Whiteman and Murray, and we had our first child there. That's where Stuart was born. And after he was a couple of years old, we moved.
When was he born?
He was born 1946.
What month? Do you remember?
October. I can't forget.
Okay.
I saw Charlotte for the first time January 17th. 1946, and he was born October 17th, 1946. So worked that just right.
Perfect.
We moved from there. We bought a little house on Northumberland Street, 6664 Northumberland Street, corner of Dallas and Northumberland. And we fixed it up, and there our second son was born.
When was he born?
He was born in 1949.
His name was?
Bert. Buzzy. Everybody knows him as Buzzy.
Is his name Burton?
Burton. But everybody knows him as Buzzy. And then shortly after that, 2 years later, Johnny was born. So 3 years later. 3 years later, Johnny was born. So she was born in 1952. And then we raised our family, we sold that house, and we moved to Murray Hill Avenue, where we lived the greater part of our lives. 1252 Murray Hill. We built that house.
Could you tell us something
were
about...
You ever there?
I think
sure.
I was ever in
there.
I don't think so.
Could
you tell us something about your life as a family, you know, Max and Charlotte and the children?
Yeah. We had togetherness quite a bit. We spent time with the children. We didn't take any major vacations, but when we did, we always went as a family. Occasionally, we would get someone to be with the children and we would go with another couple or two on a vacation. Usually it was around a convention that our association had, so we could combine the association meeting with a vacation afterwards. And we would get someone into the house to take care of the kids. And my mother-in-law used to come and spend some time with them. Yeah, my mother wasn't well, so she come, but they used to come over to see the kids every day. So I would say that our family lifestyle was great because as they got a little older and I was able to spend more time around the house, although my working hours were unique. It was from 8:15 to 5 o'clock and I was home every evening at 5 o'clock. So I could play ball with the boys. When Joni got a little older, we let her play with us too.
That was nice.
So I played with the boys' ball and then eventually get down to Whiteman Field where I refereed baseball, umpired baseball games. And it was basketball at the Ike, so be with them there. And then as time went on and I became president of the Squirrel Center, in those days we had fraternities in Squirrelville. And the fraternities didn't meet at the center. They were always meeting with individual houses. So we felt pretty good when we were able to get all the fraternities and sororities to belong to the center. At that time, the Iron Coffin Center, it was called, they had club groups, which they don't have today. But this was a way that went on in those days. So I spent time with them there, quite a bit.
And how did you spend time with the children, the youngsters?
When they were real little?
No. I mean at the Irene Coffin Center.
Well, I would see them in their activities. I would referee a basketball game,
uh-huh.
Or we would have discussion about the fraternity or sorority thing, and they were involved. And each one of our children were members of a particular fraternity or a club.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And they were, as you recall, Joni, she and your son and all, they had that club group up at the uh-huh. center that time. We spent a lot of time together.
But it was all boys? Or
boys were boys.
It wasn't the next club.
They
right.
each had their own clubs.
Right. And it was very sports-oriented.
Oh, sports-oriented. The girls weren't as much sports-oriented, but the boys were.
Right.
Yeah. And we would spend the weekends, we'd go to Washington, PA to visit the uh-huh. in-laws, or we would go to see our folks, and then eventually I joined the country club. Uh-huh. And we were a member of Baldock Country Club at first, and then there at the Westmoreland. And they were little, they used to spend time with them there.
Were you a golfer?
Yes.
Charlotte?
Charlotte plays now.
Uh-huh.
She did while her children were small,
mm-hmm.
as they, afterwards, they played. Each one of the boys were golfers and tennis players.
Uh-huh.
And both of them became real good tennis players. Buzzy became a better golfer and tennis player, but excellent tennis player. And they still play.
They still play tennis?
Still play tennis, and Buzzy still plays golf.
That's great.
Yeah,
really life sports.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of, when you socialized with friends, how did you, what kind of social things did you do?
It was usually a party.
Uh-huh.
Each one of us would have dinner and invite others over.
Uh-huh.
Went back and forth. And we had a pretty large group of friends then, as we do today. And we did a lot of activities, go to the theater, movies, or go to the theater downtown. Usually the wives made all the arrangements.
Right.
I would say that I had very little to do with the arrangements. I said, where are we going tonight?
And you went.
Yeah. Well, when they were younger, it was difficult because, although we were lucky, we did have help in the house there,
uh-huh.
and we could go out. But just weekends we would go out.
Uh-huh. So you were pretty child-oriented.
Child-oriented during the week. Right?
How about your Jewish life with your children, with Charlotte and the children? How would you describe that?
Well, we celebrated every holiday.
Uh-huh.
The boys were bar mitzvah, uh-huh. so they had good training. They were trained at the Tree of Life.
Uh-huh.
We were members of both Tree of Life and Rosh Hashanah at the same time. I believe that our boys had as well of Hebrew training as any of the other contemporaries. And they're still maintain that,
mm-hmm.
which is good. And Joni, she maintains a certain amount of the Jewish education she was taught at Temple. They all belong to a temple or somewhere in either synagogue or temple. They all belong to temples now, that's right. And they all participate, so it carried over.
Where did you attend services, like for the high holidays and so on? Temple or Tree of Life?
Temple.
You went to Temple.
Yes.
Did you observe any holiday? Did you, for instance, observe the Sabbath at home?
No.
Okay.
No, we did not. But Friday night we used to go to services at Temple.
Uh-huh.
I was active in junior congregation at Temple. The Tree of Life was Temple didn't have bar mitzvahs at that time, and we wanted our children to get a Hebrew education and also to be bar mitzvah.
Right.
And that is why we became members of Temple, which we were for 12 years,
uh-huh.
until they graduated. Buzzy wound up being the president of his confirmation class. So
at Temple?
At Temple.
I see.
And they were both bar mitzvah, a Tree of Life, the usual and everything.
I take it Joni was not bat mitzvah. I don't think girls were bat mitzvah.
No, they weren't.
It was not the custom.
If it would have been the custom as the
uh-huh.
day, they would have been.
Uh-huh.
That's how things are, which I think is great.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Why shouldn't they have been? They should have the same as your husband.
Could you tell us something about your children individually, you know, where they went to school?
Sure. I'll start with Stuart. Stuart graduated Alder Dice, was accepted early decision at Trinity College in Hartford, graduated Trinity College, spent 6 months at our office and decided he didn't particularly want the business, so shortly after that applied and was accepted to Georgetown Law School, where he graduated Georgetown Law School. During the period of while he was at Georgetown, he was in the Coast Guard Reserves because of the Vietnam War, and he would come in on weekends until he got once a month. Buzzy graduated Alder Dice, went out to BU, and graduated BU with honors, and went on to work at BU for a year in their development program, and then applied and was accepted to MIT and got his master's at Sloan School, where he met his wife.
He got his master's at MIT?
MIT, Sloan School, it's called.
What is the Sloan
School? Sloan School is the business school.
It's the business school. I see.
And he met his wife there, who was a student there too at the time.
And her name?
Her name is Gloria. Gloria Nemzin.
N?
N-E-M-Z-I-N.
Nemzin, I see.
Right. Stuart is now married for the second time, and his wife, his name is Judy Naumburg. N-A-U-M-B-E-R-G. Each one of them have two children.
Each son has two.
Each son has two children. Joni, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Joni graduated Alder Dice, went to BU for a year, and transferred to Wheelock College. Mm-hmm. Where she graduated Wheelock.
Wheelock
in Boston.
That's W-H.
W-H-E-E-L-O-C-K. Graduated there and then got a master's in education at Lesley College. In the meantime, she taught school up in the Boston area for 7 years and decided she no longer wanted to do that, so went back and was accepted at NYU Graduate School MBA program. And she finished that, her MBA from NYU.
Now, Stuart has two children.
Stuart has two
children.
Can you
give us their names?
Yes.
And their ages or their birthdays?
Sure. With his marriage, and one of the children came with his marriage, and she's now 14. Her name is Talia. T-A-H-L-I-A.
T-A-H-L-I-A.
And she's 14. And this little boy, who is 6, his name is Darren, D-A-R-R-E-N. He has two children, David, who is 11, and then the other one is Michael, who is 7.
He has two little boys.
Two little boys. Joni has
a girl. Did you say Alyssa?
Alyssa, who is 9.
And Greg.
And Greg, who is 6.
And her husband's name?
Andy.
Landor.
L-A-N-D-O-R-F. Okay.
Andrew Landor. Right.
And he writes commercials for Younger Rubicon.
Uh-huh.
That's his job.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing this for years now and enjoys it and does a good job.
And let's see, Joni lives in New York.
Joni lives in Westchester.
And Buzzy?
Buzzy lives in Houston, Texas.
Oh, you have good places to visit.
And wait, Stuart lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oh, wow. Do you visit him the most?
Let's get this straight.
Wait, Buzzy is in Santa Fe.
No, Houston. Stuart's in Santa Fe, and Johnny's in Irvington, New York, which is Westchester County.
Okay, now, you had really been a factor in the community. I'm saving maybe the best for last.
Yeah.
Can you tell us something about your career as a volunteer and contributor to our Pittsburgh community? Tell us how you got started.
All right, I'll tell you how I got started.
Because you've really made a mark.
Well, I don't know about that, but in the early days, when I went to the Irene Kaufman Settlement, I would see all the different members of the board and the activities went on, and usually they were people from outside the Hill District that were members of the board. And I often said to my mother and others, my sister, that's one of my desires, someday to be on that board. Well, as luck would have it, I achieved that goal to be on the board of the Iron Compton Settlement Center, and then eventually the president of the Squirrelville Center, which brought me that, what I was looking for. And I was on the YIKC board for a long time, about 4 or 5 years. Then my activity centered with the, during that time, with the United Jewish Federation, and chaired the metal division for a while, which my father did before me, and became active in the Federation in various committees and things. That led me to being a member of the Bonnefere Hospital Board, and eventually the treasurer of the hospital for a short period of time, for 2 years. And it kept me on the board for about 10 or 12 years. And Charlotte was on the board of Bonnefere. So I would say that up to the present, my activities are still with Federation. I was vice president of Jewish Family and Children's Service for a number of years. I'm still on that board. One of the old timers on that board. And keep myself active as well here as in Florida, where I serve on Federation committees then.
Well, can you tell us some of the things you did as an active board member with the Iron Kaufman Settlement Center?
Center in Squirrelville.
Center.
We
can
here,
you give us kind of a continuum of the kinds of things you did, Max?
Well, okay. Several of the things I did as a member of the board there was to look after the youth programs. I was chairman of the, I guess it was the youth program, where the present head of the JCC was the head of the youth program, Bart Schachter. And my job was, of the chairman of this committee, would say that the activities were covered and the things went along. Plus, as I mentioned before, getting those fraternities to become members of the Iron Kaufman Center. Other things was, that we did, was to try and keep the, forget this, we tried to get the Jewish conservative and Orthodox synagogues to permit us to open up Saturday afternoon. They didn't want to. We finally achieved that. They made it, we had to be closed Friday, but we finally achieved to be open Saturday afternoon.
Were they closed all day on Friday?
They were closed, no,
after sundown.
From sundown on. Uh-huh. But they were closed all day Saturday. Uh-huh. We were able to achieve and open up at noon or 1 o'clock uh-huh. with programs, but weren't the programs that wouldn't spoil the religious part of it.
Right.
We had certain religious beliefs, so that was other things that we did. As far as Jewish Family and Children's Service at the present time, I find that our need here in the community is to prepare ourselves for the 21st century. And we're going to have a much older population in the city of Pittsburgh as we go throughout the country. But, JFCS has to prepare itself for that kind of a program. It's the thing that's happening. People living longer and have more activities.
Where at Jewish Family and Children's?
Yes.
You mean more services?
More services, uh-huh. more things that'll look after the elderly. And right now I serve on the Renaissance Committee.
Oh, yeah.
And an influential, hopefully, in raising considerable funds for this. And I would say that that's about anything else they call on me to do.
You said something about you were with the junior congregation you held in office.
Years ago.
What were you?
One of the officers.
Officers of the junior
congregation. And I wasn't present, I know that.
But you did participate
and
you were on a committee.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Always managed to keep my finger in something.
You said that you are doing something for Jack Buncher. with Jack Buncher?
I am a consultant for his company and serve on his Buncher Leadership Program.
His Buncher Leadership?
Leadership Program.
Can you tell us about
sure.
that program?
It's probably one of the only ones of its kind in the world, where Mr. Jack Buncher...
Excuse me, say this again?
The only one of its kind in the world.
What's the company again? I mean, what's the...
It's called the Buncher Leadership Program. In fact, I got a new tape that I just got. This program consists of bringing people from all over the world to Israel.
To Israel?
To train them to maintain their Jewish identity. In other words, with programs that we have in this country and they have in Israel. Now they spend 2 months in Israel where they are constantly given all the opportunities to learn to go back to their own countries and keep the Jewish continuity plan. I'll give you an example. Right now, we have about an alumni of close to 1,000. It started 5 years ago. Jack Buncher finances the whole program. The Joint Distribution Committee has recently taken this under their wing as well. So they have been helpful in helping with some of the funding. Now these people will come from South America, all over Europe. Now a great amount are coming from Russia, small towns in Russia. Jack Buncher wanted this program to give back to these people some of the things that they didn't have. And when he was traveling around the world buying scrap, they were always very good to him. He never forgot that, so he wanted this program to start.
He said, in other words, other Jewish people throughout the world were good
right.
to him as
yeah.
he was traveling
right.
the world.
That's what he tells me.
I
wasn't
see.
There. So we started with South America. We got 10 people from South America. And this thing has grown now where they're coming from India. They're coming from little towns in Russia, throughout Russia. We had quite a few that came originally from Yugoslavia, places like that that are now wiped out. And it's a program that it's hard to believe how it's grown. But once a year we have a meeting. I've attended the show and I've attended two of the graduation ceremonies that they have in Israel. One with Jack and his wife, and a bunch of his wife. And it's UJF of Pittsburgh is the conduit for all the funds to go. And I work closely with that group.
In other words, he gives the money to the UJF and they
it's funneled
manage
back to this
it.
Program.
And you're a consultant to this
for
program.
This
could you tell us something about the people, or their age group, and their what sort of people
this program?
That go to
yeah.
this program? Yeah.
Well, there are two types. There's a professional. It works for different social service groups. And there's lay people who, as an example, among our participants was a orthopedic surgeon from Chile. Another one was a social worker who wanted to continue on from Buenos Aires. Now we're getting him from Russia. And some of the people there were professional people who wanted further training and wanted a link with Israel. So if something comes up, they can be right there with them. Israel can help them to develop this program.
And are they doing anything when they go back to their
when
countries?
When they go back to their countries, there now there's a group called the Buncherinos.
Okay.
They're the graduates of the Buncher program. And they maintain what they've learned with the youth, the senior citizens. They do all of the programs to maintain the various holidays. All of this is done
the Jewishness
Jewish,
throughout the
keep
world.
Jewish.
He's trying
they
to
don't enter into the what religion, I mean, what part of Jewish religion you are.
Uh-huh.
They're not stressing that. In other words, just to maintain Jewishness, maintain Judaism as a culture.
When they get to Israel,
mm-hmm.
What kind of Jewish education are they getting? Or Jewish indoctrination.
They all have some feeling about Judaism.
Okay, they're all Jewish.
Jewish.
Okay.
Now, what they're getting there is mm-hmm. programs that will help them with their constituents.
I see.
So we're through.
Well, let me ask you this. you think we could finish up?